Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Manchester United. I'm your host Matthew, and I was gonna say joining me. Nope, too much Last of Us. Today, talking about our 7-1-4-1 on the night. Sorry, 7-1 on aggregate, 4-1 win on the night in the second leg of the semi-final of the Europa League at home against Athletic Bilbao. Lots of information there again. Seeing Manchester United into the final of the Europa League, I believe in a couple of weeks against Tottenham. So an all English final, and one of us will have a trophy and will be playing Champions League football in the 25 to 26 season. Game of mixed emotions. Game of mixed emotions, certainly. Certainly happy emotions by the end. I was happy for a lot of the players. Gonna get on to one particular player here who I'm very, very happy for in this game. It's great that we're in the final. I still worry of the prospect of Champions League football. But I was thinking of something positive about this game today, because I've admittedly been very negative about Manchester United this season, and I think you can all understand why. Liverpool go to win their 20th title while we float around in 14th. But the spin-off of that, us in the Europa League, we are currently unbeaten as well. I think we're the only unbeaten team in the whole of Europe. I don't know if that's across Champions League, Europa League, and Conference League, but it's something like that anyway. Yeah, a very positive again last 30 minutes. We're such a weird team because they scored that goal on the half hour mark, and it's like, oh, here we go. The sort of that feeling settles in, and then we just ran rampant at the end, and we totally just knocked them off the tracks. It was so easy. But that is what football can be like, right? It can be nervous and intense, and then, 20 minutes later, can look like an easy ride. We would have needed to mess up quite a lot in this match in order for us to get knocked out anyway, because we could have, could have lost 2-0 and it would have still been fine. But coming away in the end with a 4-1 win, very emphatically, is very interesting. Is very, very interesting. But on the side of Athletic Club, they tried. They certainly tried. They just didn't have enough. They just didn't have enough. There's something I want to talk about. I don't know when I want to talk about this. I don't think I'm going to do it in this game. There's a way that I've noticed that we start playing. But the opinion that I have on that and what I've noticed is quite negative, and I don't know if I want to bring it into this sort of space. I'll mention what it is, but it's this isn't applied to, bring down the positivity of this game. The way at times that we play five at the back and then go on the counter attack reminds me of the Gareth Southgate England football. It just does. I think I'd noticed it before, but I noticed it a lot in this game, how we sort of pump the ball forward to, the Garnachos, the Hoylands, the Brunos, the sort of fast players. And I mean, it's got us as far as it's gotten us, but that's something for me to delve more into at a different point, I think. Maybe in like the season wrap up when I sort of look at how the season has gone, because we still have some ways to go. I will say on at the positive on the positive kind of attitude in the stadium, which is obviously well earned by the end. I was right there with them, but still had in the back of my mind, like, there's always been, and I've kind of always had this thought: if you really grind your way through, let's say, a quarter final and a semi final, which we've done, you better win the final, because I remember when, like, what was it, 2 seasons ago when we grinded our way through the, I think it was the FA Cup semi-final against Brighton. It's like, great, you've grinded your way all the way through there, but you're not at that finish line yet, and you don't have that complete satisfaction from it because you've done the work that you needed to do in the moment, but you've still got to keep going. And can you kind of go all the way? And if you can't, it feels very, very deflating at the end. So I'm looking at the effort that we put in this game, particularly in the last half an hour, and the effort that we put in the Lyon second game. I'm like, that's all great to have that fight and to have that the weird ability to sort of switch that on and do that. But you've got to win the final. So even though it's very satisfying to kind of come away from the Lyon game, obviously the big dramatic comeback there, and then the big dramatic sort of, well, there was no comeback in this game, but the dramatic sort of, if you want to call it, turnaround, of going 1-0 down to 4-1 up, it's not complete until we win the final. That's a great road, it's a great journey, but you want to finish that journey. If we don't beat Spurs in this cup final, but we can get to that at a later point. There's lots of players I'm particularly happy for today, and one in particular. But yeah, I'll mention that a bit later. I'll pin a few of those things for later on. Should we get to the summary? Do I have anything else I want to say about the game? Certainly played better in the last half an hour than we did in the minutes before that. And we can't afford to play like that in the cup final. But then I consider and say that, but then it's kind of, could you get away with doing this again? Let's say this game goes exactly the same way as the cup final, right? Or let's say the cup final goes exactly the same way as this game. Let's say Tottenham score after half an hour, and we go, oh my God, we're losing the cup final. We put in all this effort, oh my God, sort of thing. And then the last half an hour, we have this weird hidden ability to kind of just switch it on and go into sort of panic mode. Now, I know I speak a lot about Man United's weird ability to suddenly play panic football and suddenly just turn up. I don't think that's what this was in this case. I know what our panicked football looks like because I've seen it quite a lot. I don't think that's what this was. And I think why it was slightly different is, okay, we were 1-0 down and we felt the need to kind of keep pushing and fight on and everything, but we weren't losing the tie, so it was this new kind of middle ground where it was sort of, okay, they've scored one, don't let them score any more to get back in the game, but we were still in a fine position. Heck, we could have conceded another goal from that position and still been absolutely fine. So it was this weird kind of, I don't know, it was like a different version of the panicked football. But anyway, so yeah, again, kind of the I can't sort of I know I'm trying to be sort of positive in this episode, but if you start this cup final, I'm talking about the first half, like you did in this game, yeah, that might be a nervous way to kind of start the cup final, I think. But if you'd ask me right now, like on the spot, okay, who's going to win the cup final? Is it going to be Man United and Tottenham? I would say, what is the answer of a coin flip? I think that's the best way to describe it, because Tottenham themselves are such a weird team where, like, okay, when we get to the 90th minute of the cup final, it could be 5-0 to either team, or it could be 5-5. So yeah, if you say like, okay, in both of your current forms, who do you think wins out of Man United and Tottenham? I would say, what's the correct answer to a coin flip? It's literally, excuse me, where'd that come from? It's literally you flip the coin up, and whatever lands is the correct answer, which is literally a flat 50-50 split. Because we both had quite poor seasons. I think Tottenham are like 2 points behind us in the league, which yeah, just makes it weird that, like, okay, that the 14th and the was it I think they're 16th, the 14th and the 16th place Premier League teams, one of them is going to be playing Champions League football next season, which yeah, is is really weird. It is really, really weird. Anyway, it's enough time spent on that. Let's get into the summary. They scored their first goal. I do not know how to pronounce this guy's name, so I'm not going to try. One of their players scored. This is honestly just kind of. It was a scrappy goal, but it was one of them out of nothing screamers where someone just wellies the ball or levers the ball, whatever word you want to use, and they just whip it top corner. It's just one of them freak moments that can happen in football, and it can come out of nowhere. Yes, I know Maguire slightly gives away the ball, but there's not really like a tactical breakdown to this goal. It's just because okay, someone got the ball in the spot, they happened to have enough space in that moment, and they decided to kick the ball, and it went in. These freak goals can just kind of happen in football, and it is what it is. So that set in some early nerves, and we went into half time, of course, technically 3-1 up, not 1-0 down. It depends on how you look at it. So there was that, and then they made some substitutions, and then we brought on Mazraoui for Shaw, Ugarte, sorry, Shaw on for Mazraoui, Mount on for Ugarte, and Ahmed on for Garnacho. Yeah, Garnacho should have grabbed himself a goal in the first half as well. You'd expect him to kind of score that chance that got given to him. But he got subbed off anyway. To give the manager, look, I've been negative on this manager, particularly this season, and I'm still going to stick to my opinion, by the way, that, and I know this might sound like a negative or a stupid thing to say, if we win this Europa League, which is only against Tottenham, I still think it's best to just move on next season. Because even though you could go, hey, you won a trophy over here, but yeah, but look at us in the league. Look at us in the league. But then again, like I said, and don't mean to kind of repeat what I said before, we were 8th, which is a better spot than 14th, and we were in an FA Cup final, which is a better situation than what we were in now, and people wanted Ten Hag gone. And just to pose the question one more time before obviously the cup final comes up, why is what Ruben Amorim is doing more acceptable than what Ten Hag did last season? Because Ten Hag had a better season last season than Amorim, so yeah, but I posed that question before. But anyway, but like I was saying, I've been very critical and stuff on this manager. I do think these were some game-changing substitutions, and I've got to give him big credit for that. So even though I'm not currently a fan of him, credit where credit's due, and obviously I think particularly Ahmad and Mason Mount were some big game-changing subs. You could see immediately kind of like Ahmad stepping into the game, doing his usual thing. I love him. He's such a good footballer. He just needs a slightly better team around him. So there was that. And then we scored a really, really good goal. Lenny Yoro putting in some really good work. I don't know why he was there on the edge of the box, but I don't really care. Mason Mount on the turn, just curling the ball into the bottom right-hand corner. Really, really, really enjoyed that goal a hell of a lot. And look, Mount had gone through a tough time since he's been at this football club. He's been injured for more time than he's been available. I'm still a fan of him. I hope that this game, I really, really, really hope that this game in particular, and we've seen in the last, what, 2, 3 weeks or so, Mason Mount be slowly edged back into this team and sort of pick up some form. And I like him and I would love to keep him. But it's ultimately going to be a case of if you can stay fit between now and the end of next se sorry, the now and the end of this season, and he's finally starting to show us a bit of what he can do because he's actually able to play more, I would like to keep him. I would very, very much like to keep him. But even if you have a good run from now until the end of the season, and then next season it's like, oh, another injury, then another injury, it's really going to either go one of two ways where it's sort of, okay, if you get injured again and you're out for another month, we might have to consider your future. But I really, really hope that doesn't happen. I like Mason Mount. I was happy when we signed him. He was one of them players as well at the time that I didn't really care how he fit in. He's just a good midfield footballer that I would like at this football club. And this is obviously his best game Probably his best game for Man United because he hasn't really, started much and all that sort of thing. And we will talk about his interesting goal later on. But I've seen what he can do at Chelsea. I liked him when I saw him at Chelsea. He's played some football for England where he's done well, but I liked a lot of what he did at Chelsea. And you just got to please, please just stay fit at least until the end of this season, and then we can work on what to do next season. But I love this goal for him. Again, we didn't technically need it because we still needed to concede at least two more goals to go into extra time. Again, I know the stakes of it because, nerves, and we were on edge and like, oh, what if they get another one? But I think this is almost a bigger goal for Mason Mount than it is for Manchester United. But very, very, very happy for him. So really good to see. And yeah, good work all around. Excuse me, on this goal was to kind of keep the ball, keep the movement flowing, and a really, really good finish as well. Very, very happy with the actual finish that he did here. So that made me very, very happy. That kind of kicked me back into this match as well. So really, really good. And then Casemiro scored because he always gets weird-headed goals from set pieces. Bruno Fernandes flicked a free kick in, and Casemiro got his head on it. And I think from that moment you knew that the tie was over. Because even from 70 minutes, okay, get another goal, they're back to sort of square one. There's still some time, but I think, going 10 minutes later, we then grab another one, make it 2-1 in the actual second leg. I think that marked this game as being over. So very, very good. And then Harry Amass on for Lindelof, and Kobbie Mainoo, sorry, on for Casemiro. And then finally, someone decided to pass the ball to Højlund, and he actually scored from it. What have I been saying for months on end? And nobody else has said the same thing. Everybody has written this player off. I never did, because last season when I saw this lad, I don't want to say boy, that sounds weird, when this lad got serviced last season, a lot better, he scored a lot more goals. We just simply haven't done it for a big, big chunk of the season. And if in a nutshell, if you take everything I said on the Højlund service problem episode, that is how we give him the ball. I mean, okay, you don't have to give it to him that close to the goal line. It can be, similar but within the 6 yard box area. But a similar type of pass. As soon as I had this much confidence in him, right? I'll say this right now on the spot. As soon as I realized the ball was rolling towards him and he had that much space, I knew it was going in. I had zero doubt in my mind. But this team has made him look worse because we just don't. And again, we failed to pretty much service him for most of the game, and we did it this one time in this game. And he actually scored from it. So I'm going to say I was right the whole time. All of you have been wrong about him, and I have been right. I have been, unless there's football opinions out there that I haven't heard, which would be unlikely, but I suppose possible. I was right about him. Everybody else was wrong about him, and I will take that to the bank, and I will cash my check. Thank you very much. Yeah, but I always knew I always knew he was good at goal poaching because he's been at goal poaching before, and we just haven't given him these opportunities. It's just like, if you want to talk about different aspects, like his hold up play and his passing ability, those are all up for debate. This is not up for debate to me. If you want to debate me on Højlund's poaching ability, I will shut the door on you, and ignore you because you are wrong. All of you have been wrong. Every single one of you out there have criticized him for being a bad striker. All of you have been wrong. I've been right this whole time. And look back at that goal for proof. And there we go. Very, very nice. That was kind of my happiest moment of the game, because I was like, there you go. I've been telling you all for ages. And he put one away, and very, very, very happy for him indeed. I had a little weird moment with this goal because Ahmed crossed it in, right, and it looked like he fell into the stupid ditch that we have at Old Trafford for some weird reason, which players have fallen into and got injured. the players walked over to Ahmad because he'd gone in there, and Ahmad was like standing really still, and I was like, oh, did he fall in there, and then did he hurt himself? No, they were just taking a selfie. They were just taking a selfie, wasn't injured. But because of our history at Old Trafford, I was like, oh, players in the ditch over there. It, within all that moment and everything, someone fell in the ditch, and a lot of players have fallen in there and got injured. But nope, not injured. He's just too busy taking a selfie, which is quite funny. So anyway, that made it 3-1, and then beautiful, beautiful moment for Mason Mount. They mucked up some mistake. I can't remember exactly what happened. Mount had the ball near the halfway line and kicked it past the goalkeeper, beat the keeper off his line, and you could just see the ball whizzing into the net all the way from over there. And a great, great moment for him, a great moment for the club, and a great moment to, if the deal wasn't already sealed by this point, which it was, a great way to seal, stamp, and deliver our ticket to the cup final. So there we go. But yes, very, very happy for him. Again, like I said, going off of what I've said before, you know, had a tough time at United, been injured for more than what he's been available for and everything. Just really, really happy for him with this goal. And you don't see these goals a lot in football, do you? These sort of long range open goals. The last one I can remember, there was one that Bruno did against Liverpool. I think it was in the FA Cup quarterfinal last year. It was some Liverpool game last year. We played them like 4 times. That wasn't quite as far out, but the other one I remember, which is going back a bit, is McTominay's one against Man City. That was in, that was right, I think that was the last goal we scored before lockdown came around, but that was a really, really good moment as well. So, and this one wasn't easy. It was like awkwardly on his left foot, and he's got to get the trajectory right and all that kind of stuff. In it went. Great moment for him. Really, really, really happy for him. And I hope that this game kicks on his Man United career. I really, really do. Because he's a great player. I like him a lot. He's somebody that I want at Manchester United as well. And that would be very, very good for him. So, and if it can be good for him and he plays well, then it will be good for us as the club. So, there we go. Just please don't get injured between now and the end of the season. That would be really, really good. All right. Player ratings. Yeah, we'll take a break, come back, do player ratings, and I'll see you in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, so move on to player ratings. My man of the match. I've got two people I'm going to give, well, two people that I know that I'm going to give 10s to, which is Lenny Yoro and Mason Mount. So a super sub appearance from Mason Mount. I'm going to give them both a 10. I thought they were both phenomenal in this game, particularly with Lenny Yoro. Defensive work as well as build up work, which is not something that you really expect from him, really. It's not part of like his role, but found himself on the edge of the box a few times and obviously helped with a few goals, helped with a few moments. But defending from Lenny Yoro has been excellent in this game, so give him a 10. But because of the two goals and because of also what he's been through as well, because Lenny Yoro, I think in these last, what, 6 weeks or so, has really kicked off his Man United career. Young prospect. He's not really a prospect for the future because he's doing it now, isn't he? But it's interesting with him because you look at him and Aiden Heaven, right? Two young lads that kind of, okay, manage their minutes and things like that. Since Heaven and Martinez have got injured and Euro's kind of had to play a bit more, especially with Delit out as well, Yoro sort of had to play more, and I feel like he's really stepped up well in those situations. Because how old is he? Oh, he's 19. He is going to be 20 in November. So yeah, very very good from Lenny Yoro. But Mason Mount, for him and Ahmad, when they were both brought on, just really lit this game up and sort of brought it back to life. I'd probably give Ahmad a 10. Now that I'm thinking about him, I'd probably give Ahmad a 10 as well, because his impact was brilliant on this game as well. So yeah, those are three players to give 10s. But I just want to give it to Mason Mount because of the two goals and because of what it means for, hopefully what it means for his career. Let's go back to the front with Andre Onana. Not going to really blame him for the goal. I know he got a bit of a hand on it, but it's a hell of a strike. It's a hell of a strike. So a little bit wobbly, Onana in this game. Some of his distribution was a bit wobbly, but kept the ball out of the net enough times. And this app has given him a 6, and I'll pretty much give him the same. Lindelof, I'm going to give a 6 as well. Just thought he had a decently average game. Gave the ball away a few times, that kind of stuff, but nothing sort of too horrendous. Maguire had a weird game, didn't he? Had a very, very weird game. He was winning some duels and being his sort of aerial presence, the aerial sort of dominance. But a few too many wobbly passes. Certainly wobbly passes. So I think I'll give him a 5 for this. So is that Mazraoui? 6, 50-50 game. I thought he did some stuff well, he did some stuff wrong, so yeah, I thought it was alright overall. Casemiro, of course, got the goal that kind of started sealing the deal a bit more for this tie, so I'll give him a 7, I thought he was pretty good from what I remember, so there we go. Ugarte, got to give him a 5, he gave the ball away so many times, I don't know what was wrong with him in this game, but it was right to sub him off, and that's that for Ugarte. Dorgu, I thought, had a bit of a weird game, but did some progressive bits and pieces, but could have been a bit better in certain situations, but I'll give him a 6 as well. Bruno Fernandes, a pretty good game from what I remember. There was a few wobbly moments, a few Bruno moments, but I thought we did well in the build-up for us in certain spots, so I give him a 7. Hoyland, I'll be perfectly honest, I almost want to give him a 10 just because I was right and because he scored a goal, but that would be a bit too high. I thought he contributed well. I thought his goal was well taken. Again, basically got the 5% service in this game, but he actually scored from it this time, so I'm going to give him a 7 in this game. Garnacho, I'm going to give him a 6. His intent was good, should have definitely scored the chance that he got, and he did okay from what I remember, so I'm going to give him a 6. Let's move on from that. Excuse me. Luke Shaw, I thought Luke Shaw was it's alright. Yeah, got forward well. Didn't impact the game as much as the other subs, but you almost didn't need to. So give him a 6. Mason Mount, I've already talked about. Give him a 10. Ahmed Diallo. Look, in regards to, let's say, Cobby, Amas, Ahmed, Mount, and probably a handful of other players, as bad as we are right now, and as questionable as sort of, okay, what do we do with this squad? There's a few players I would definitely like to build around for the future. Just to name a few of them, but not all of them. Cobby is obviously one of them. Harry Amas, I think, has looked really good recently. Ahmed's definitely one for the future. He's scored from some really, really crucial goals. And he's got a habit of scoring against Liverpool and City, so which is a good habit to have. Mason Mount, again, how actually old is he? 26. So, yeah, he's got some good years left, Mason Mount. But if he can use this game to kick on, I'll be very, very happy. So, There's four players to build our future off of, at least, as well as several others. So, but I thought all of them did really, really, really well. I liked, there's a few Cobby moments that Cobby had with his sort of ball control and ball movement. And I was like, there he is. There's that guy that I, there's that player that I love. So, but I, even with a bit of a wobbly season due to injuries and other things, I've never once been on the outs on Cobby. I think that would, I think it'd be outrageous if we sold him. Yeah, very, very good again. All right, let's talk about the bench. I've read out some of these names before, so I'm not going to do the sort of fresh read thing that I do. Amas, I thought, did well. Subbed on. Biyende was on the bench. Ahmed, like I said, did really well. Was brought on. Eriksen was there. Fredriksen, Heaton, Kamassan. Cobby was good, Mantano, Mount, and Luke Shaw was also on the bench as well. Missing players list, Collier with, a leg injury, Dallow with a calf injury, Dilit with a knee injury, Heaven, Martinez, Obi is not registered for Europa League, and Xerxes as well, injured with a hamstring injury. All right. That's it for this game. We are in the cup final. Now that's going to be on the 21st of May at 8, which is in 2 weeks. Which means we'll have to move our Last of Us podcast to Thursday. Since when have they had Europa League cup finals on a Wednesday? Since when is that been a thing? You'd usually expect like any cup final, whether it's Carabao Cup, you know, playoff final, Champions League, Europa League, FA Cup, whatever it will be, because it's assumed still that, you know, most people get weekends off and you want to put cup finals on like a Saturday night or something. So I don't know. Plus, like, when has Europa League itself been on a Wednesday night? It would be more normal to me if this cup final was on a Thursday night rather than a Wednesday night. Like, what we do with that? But I suppose there's no more Champions League midweek games to play. So again, I don't know what that's about. But yeah, 2 weeks time we'll have seen what's going on. So the remaining fixtures for the rest of the season: this Sunday, West Ham at home, Chelsea away, that's probably the next Sunday, and then the Wednesday following on from that, Tottenham, I believe it's at Bilbao's stadium, which we played at last week. Neutral, I suppose, will be in red and they'll be in white, won't they, against Tottenham in the Europa League final, and then at home to Aston Villa, the final day of the season, which is the 25th of May. So four games left. I'll be covering one of them. So there will be two more United Cast episodes for the rest of the season, which will be obviously our coverage of the cup final, whatever happens, because it would be weird if I didn't cover us in a cup final, wouldn't it? Yeah, so cup final in 2 weeks time on Wednesday, or I guess just under 2 weeks, and then some point after we finish playing Aston Villa, because we'll finish between, you know, 14th to 17th, or maybe 13th or something. And we'll see what will go on from there. And at some point, yeah, some point after that game, I'll do like a season wrap-up thing, talk about the season as a whole. And then we'll go from there. We'll see what happens in the summer. I think regardless if he wins or loses the cup final, because the league position is almost irrelevant. Although, well, it's not irrelevant. I mean, in terms of, okay, are we going to finish 14th or 17th? One of them will look worse than the other, but we've known for a while, like for a long time, haven't we? Like where we're roughly going to finish in the league. It's just been about this cup for a long, long time. So yeah. But on a positive note, in terms of all the trophies that we take part in, apart from things like the Community Shield, if we win the Europa League final, we will have won every trophy, again apart from the Community Shield, in the last 3 years, apart from the Champions League and the Premier League, because 3 years ago, Carabao Cup, last year, FA Cup, and if we can, this year, the Europa League. So yeah, every single trophy we've won in the last 3 years, apart from Community Shield, Champions League, and the Premier League, of course, which those two we've been nowhere near in winning. But anyway, although, 2 seasons ago we were only 15 points behind Man City when we finished Eric's first season. Again, do I think we're going to win the final? What's the answer to a coin flip? I think, yeah, with our Europa League form, we've got the capacity to beat Tottenham in the final. It just depends on it. It more depends on what Tottenham we get instead of what version of us do we get. Because I think we're capable, definitely capable of beating Tottenham in the cup final, but Tottenham are also capable of beating us. I think it just depends on which version of them we get. Of Spurs we end up playing against, so I don't know. But you've come this far, you've worked this hard, you've clawed your way back from, some tough games, particularly obviously that Lyon second leg, sorry, the Lyon second, whatever you call it, the second game against Lyon where we clawed our way back, unbeaten through the entirety of this Europa League competition. We've done the 100 meters with the hurdles. We've jumped over all the hurdles. We haven't tripped up once. We've jumped over all of them mostly cleanly. We've had a few little, wrong footings here and there, but it's one more hurdle each, Tottenham and Man United, and then who can get over the line first? I really think it is that equal, because we've both had equally poor seasons. We both don't have senior strikers, although if we pass to our one more, we could get more goals, but whatever. Yeah, it's a coin flip cup final to me. And I think Tottenham will look at it kind of the same way. So there we go. Okay, so last time they were in a European final, well, the Champions League final, which was a few years ago, wasn't it? They lost to a very good Liverpool team. We are nowhere near as good as that Liverpool team. But, I have to see. I have to see what happens, I suppose. Yeah, again, my answer is just coin flip. That's my answer. I think we're capable of beating them, but they're capable of beating us as well. It really is just, I think it's that dead on 50-50. So, it's going to be about who makes the first mistake, who scores the first goal. It could very well be nil-nil just all the way to penalties. It really, really could be that sort of game where, like, we fluff our lines up front, they fluff their lines up front, but we both defend really, really well. It could be one of those games, one of them really, really intense games where both teams just defending for their lives and no one's really sort of, we're poking at each other, but nobody's poaching the other team. It's just going to be about who, it's like a game of fencing. Who's going to get that first jab in? Because whoever gets that first jab in has got to then take that jab and get it over the line, I think. So who knows? But yeah, it depends on things like, injuries. I don't know what injuries they've got. Obviously, we don't know what injuries we will have at the time. But I think if we go in that game with like a fully fit Ahmad, a fully fit Cobbie, a fully fit Mason Mount, service to Hoyland, Bruno's on form, we're defending really well. I think we can certainly do it, but then, we could have 99% possession, we could have 20 shots on goal for 90, for 89 minutes, and then they can hit us on the break and score and win. And then the 99% possession and 20 shots won't matter. Or it could happen the other way around, where it's they have 20 shots, 99% possession, and we're going, oh my God, we're completely out of this game. And then suddenly Garnacho's pass through on goal, he squares it to Bruno or something, and then we score right at the end and win. It can really be as tight as that. Either that, or we cause Tottenham to fall flat on their face, or they cause us to fall flat on their face. We shall see. Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. How are you feeling after this second leg semi-final? Took Bilbao to the cleaners, really, didn't we, in the end? So, yeah. But what do you think of our chances against Tottenham? Do you think it's as 50-50 as I think? Or, because people have got that phrase, right? Spursy doing Spursy things. But that's literally applied in both senses. Spursy doing the Spursy thing of falling apart, or doing something like beating PSG in a Champions League. So, yeah. Anyway, your thoughts on the final. What do you think this does for Amorim? Do you think it still matters if, like, well, obviously it still matters. Yeah, what's your stance on Amorim after this? Or do you think it really is just down to if he wins, he stays. If he loses the final, then he gets sacked. Anyway, your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, let me know what they are. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main eye podcast. Of course, we're all over The Last of Us right now, doing spoiler-free reviews, spoiler predictions episodes, and spoiler-free and spoiler reviews, and then spoiler predictions episodes. So go and check those out if you're into The Last of Us, because me and David have a lot of things to say about it. And very, very positive things as well to say about it. So check that out. Of course, Gaming Talk is back this week as well. So check all that out for the newest gaming stuff that we're talking about. Film reviews, more coming soon. Did Warfare recently, so check that one out. Did Dream Productions, a TV season review. So check that out as well. Adolescence review, of course, for that very important UK-based sort of knife crime show. So check that out as well. What else is there? Yeah, all those things as well. And also, I've now finished playing all the games that I need to for my podcast project for Naughty Dog Games. So I'm not going to say what that is yet, because it's more than one thing. But I've now finished Uncharted Lost Legacy. Absolutely loved it, and I'm looking forward to delving all into that. I might, if I've got time and energy, do that today still, so look out for that possibly later on. If I don't do it today, I will probably do it tomorrow. It just depends on it honestly just depends on energy levels, because I'm pretty much ready to go. But look out for that. So that will be for some Naughty Dog stuff, and then hopefully at least one film review this weekend, if not two. And then it's back into The Last of Us. So please check out everything that we're doing on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, main night podcast. What on my social media, listening to more episodes and telling other people about what we're doing, where they can find it. Let them know in whatever ways you can. Of course, yeah, Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Speaking of David, he runs a website and a podcast called Geek Town and Geek Town Radio. Geek Town Radio is on Tuesdays, and Geek Town Radio through the week for all your TV and film news. Make sure you check that out to get your TV and film news for that. And you can find us on YouTube as well at Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our video game stuff. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.